Okay, we are here January 20th, and we are with...
Drew Hebert.
Okay, so I have some opening questions to start with. First off, how do you identify and what are your pronouns?
I identify as a cisgender male, he, him. Yeah.
Okay.
Gay. Let's add that one.
What is your occupation? What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm currently in school to become a cosmetologist. I'm about to graduate. So hair, makeup, those things. And another way I earn a living is through drag.
Do you think being a part of the LGBTQ+ community has had an effect on choosing life?
Oh, 1,000%. I would not have been put into the sphere of drag, experience drag. I think as early, if I was not LGBTQ and was not intrigued by those things because of that community. So because of drag, because I saw drag, started drag, it awakened my obsession with hair and makeup. Period. So yes, that's a yes.
When did you discover that you were LGBTQ+?
Third grade. I vividly remember it. Okay, so you know how whenever you're coming of age, you are starting to have crushes on people and starting to be like, oh my god, that girl's kind of cute. Or obviously you're not doing that if you're a heterosexual man in third grade. But I was what if Gavin's kind of cute? Using a name that's not his actual name, but wow, I kind of have a crush on him. What if I dated Gavin? Or what if I dated that guy? Or what if I dated him? That's kind of intriguing. But I didn't know what gay was then. I had not been exposed to it quite yet. Or LGBTQ. And the whole identity and crazy world that it is of that community. But then a year later, I had my first boyfriend in the class. Yeah. And then came out in sixth grade.
So, what you're talking about, how do you think internet exposure has shaped that? Do you think it has?
Has shaped what?
Your progression of coming out and being exposed to the queer community.
So I think internet is the downfall, and social media is the downfall, but also the uplifter of the LGBTQ community. Let me explain. So there are people like me, for instance. I grew up in Maurice, Louisiana, went to country school, and those things where being gay was not a norm, nor was it accepted, I guess you could say. Even from faculty and staff, I felt that it was still a thing that they did not want to talk about or even acknowledge. And I personally would go on the internet, have a boyfriend that lives in Washington State, have this, are they actually who they say they are? Are they predators? Are these things, I think our obsession with trying to find who we are, because we have no idea, I lack the gay experience. I probably talked to a few people that did not say who they thought they were. I think that's a super big downfall, because it's opening all this negativity, possible negativity, someone who's literally trying to use you and make you an object, and it's so objectifying, it's so putting yourself as a number versus a human being sometimes. But I think it's a super positive thing in other aspects, because it allows people, our community specifically here in Latvia, South Louisiana, there's a lot of us here, but a lot of quiet ones that don't present, don't go to the frequent, the LGBTQ frequented establishments and things, because they don't want to be seen that way, which is valid. I think everybody's choice in how they want to present and how they want to exist in the community is valid. But it allows them to feel comfortable in talking to people elsewhere. It allows us to connect with people that live in New York City, Barcelona, all this stuff, and allow our gay culture to grow in many different ways, and figuring out what it actually means and what it should exist like. So it's both good and bad.
So you mentioned you grew up in Maurice. So have you always lived in Louisiana?
Okay, yes, I've never lived outside of Louisiana. I lived in Maurice, that's where I grew up, basically, in the middle of Maurice and Abbeville. And then, the second I graduated high school, literally the second. I moved, went to LSU. So lived in Baton Rouge for a few years, and then went to start cosmetology school. I don't know what my drive was, what the little thing in my head was that said move back home, move to Lafayette. So that's where we are today.
Could you describe your upbringing?
Okay, this is... my upbringing is extremely, like, complex for, like, LGBTQ. So, I grew up Catholic household. Church on Sunday, if I acted up in church, you say sorry to the priest. Da-da-da-da-da, you are structured, strict parents, daycare, this, like, very, like, you don't feel like very, very much so those people, you don't act a certain way. Okay, but at the same time, with having that experience, like the Catholic experience of, like, catechism, learning all those things, my mother is, like, the most accepting person of gays. Like, and that side of the family, like, I had a gay uncle, didn't know what gay was until later, and, like, experienced that. But, like, super accepting, super, while also remaining super Christian and super Catholic. Which I think that kind of confused me a little bit. Because my family is making me go to catechism, making me go to church, making me go to this place that oftentimes are not too fond of who I am and are going to, like, just question how I present. Because I presented, like, flamboyant, as people like to categorize us. Like, since birth, the second I could walk out of heels on, it was a very telling thing. So, like, I was going to this place to be ostracized and be categorized and feel disgusting about myself, or I'm told that I'm a mistake and I'm a sin. And then I go home, and it's like, it's great. Like, it's fine. Now, my dad's side of the family, it was a very, like, don't ask, don't tell type of situation. Like, they didn't ask, they didn't tell. The ignorance, I think that they're super ignorant on that side to a lot of it, because my father, like, whenever I told him over text message, which is telling, he straight up said, I thought you just wanted to be a girl. Okay, so that's obviously just in it. Like, that's not what gay means. Because I've heard you use a slur before. So, like, that was that weird experience, that weird, hot, like, odd thing that I was existing within. My grandfather called me a disappointment, but my grandmother was saying, it's okay, I still love you. Like, it was a weird back and forth thing for me, but, like, while this is my upbringing and I'm dealing with all of those different things coming at me, I still remain true to myself. Like, I was never that person that, like, hid my personality or, like, tried to lower it down for someone else. That's never been me, will never be me. And I think that's, like, a big reason why I look at my upbringing positively, even though there were some negative parts, because I'm a big believer that, like, you are only, like, oppressed and suppressed if you allow yourself to be. That's what I think. Like, yes, all these factors were pushing on me, pushing, but I never allowed it to. So I guess I never felt that way, if that makes sense. So I think my upbringing was very wild. Very wild, like the usual bullying, whatever you want to say. The F slur screamed across the gym at me. Sixth grade, people telling me to kill myself. Seventh grade, all of those things. I'm saying I just kept on skipping, but I'm gonna say that's my upbringing.
So you mentioned being raised in a Catholic space. Mm-hmm. Do you consider yourself so religious?
Okay, religious is a very strong word to me. Religion, to be religious is a completely different thing than what I think it is. Personally, okay, I don't consider myself Catholic. I consider myself Christian. I believe that my existence with, like, God and those things, I think it is positive for me to have a relationship that is private. I don't think that me going sit in a building and listen to someone tell me what I can read is beneficial for me. Now, everybody else, people who are Catholic, people who are whatever they believe in, whatever works for you. This is just what works for me. Like, I'm one of those believers. So I would not say I'm religious. I think of, like, with my past and religion and, like, the things that I've heard, I think my viewpoint on religious is kind of like something that I need to reflect on and think about. My viewpoint on someone religious kind of exists with homophobia. I don't know why, but that's kind of something that I connect. Maybe I need to venture and think into that, but yeah.
I would say that.
Okay, so those are kind of like my openers. I have some maybe deeper questions.
I dug deep already. Let's see. Give me a shovel, girl.
let's see. Can you tell me about any difficulties or hardships you've faced as a cis campus?
This is
such a little
problematic. Competition. Let's talk about this. So, South Louisiana, it's like kind of, I think it's ingrained in gay culture a little bit. Gay, LGBTQIA+ culture, compete. I think because we have, like, it's one of those things where, like, okay, our community is smaller. Like, we can all say that our dating pool is on a smaller existence than the heterosexual community, fact. And I think a lot of people are putting it into a competitive race. Like, who can build the most Instagram followers? Who can have the most amount of apps? Who is better in all these ways? And making like a checklist of like who's a better gay? Like what makes them a better gay? Do they have good style? Are they wearing the Nike Dunks? Like do they have money? Money is a very big thing. So I think all of those things like I have struggled with because I don't want to compete with you. Like okay, for example, me. You can literally take me and snap me over your knee. I'm 5'7", 130 pounds. We're not going far. Like, I'm not a big boy. Okay, now we're men, okay, because we're gay men. One could be 6'3", and jacked. How are you even going to compare us to put us in competition? Like the competition is literally existing as someone's preferences. Why are we turning preferences into a checklist of who a gay man is? That's just how I've seen it. That's my personal experiences. I'm not sure if everyone else can see that or like has that experience. Maybe they don't. Maybe they like don't see that at all. But like, okay, we're gonna bring it up. Grindr. Grindr is single-handedly the epitome of competition. Epitome. So like, I've been on that before. I don't care. Like I'll say here. Like okay, there's a picture of me. Like all these people are cutting off heads. Like, a lot of people do not post their head. They don't want their face to be put on it, and it's body. So you're scrolling through, saying, who has the nicest body, and they get the response from me? Like, that's disgusting competition and subjectifying and making people feel awful about themselves. We are human. Why are we dehumanizing our sexuality? Like, why are we making it this big thing? And that's what I have struggled with as being a cis gay man. Because, like, I think that the dating realm is a little bit different whenever you get to non-binary than like those realms. I think cis gay men is a very specific topic and you have to keep it specific. Because like a lot of people just, their preferences, I don't think preferences are necessarily negative for people, but people don't want to date. Like some people just don't want to date someone who's non-binary, it's not for them. Some people just don't want to date someone that's dating them. And that's valid. If that's what how you feel, that's how you feel. So I think that the specific question that you just asked was so in point because it literally is competition. I literally struggle with competition because I can't get ripped. So like because I don't have a line of washboard abs, I'm immediately counted out as a person. That's all I'm
doing. So to build on that, because you know you're making commentary about the LGBTQ+ community, specifically the cis gay community. What's your perception of the larger queer community in Latvia today?
Okay, this is such a weird question because this question is so like experience based that like someone might walk in and have this exact same interview and say that is the worst community in the world and say that it is this XYZ. I love it. Okay, I think that the gay community in Latvia is big enough where we don't all know each other all the time, but small enough that it still feels safe. Does that make sense? Living in, I can only contest like I'm going to make a comparison because I can, like, I feel like a comparison is a good way to just, like, me build my opinion on Lafayette. Like, living in Baton Rouge, that was where my gay awakening was. Like, oh my gosh, I'm not in a country high school anymore. Like, there's gay people everywhere. I had the freedom, the sexual freedom, the, like, whatever it was. And that's where the competition started. That's where, like, oh, do you drive an Audi? Oh, do you have a BMW? Oh, where do you work out? Do you want to go, like, sip this $400 bottle of wine? Like, that's where all of those things, like, built up. And Lafayette, I don't feel that here. Like, if you're not pretty, they weren't putting you in a friend group in Baton Rouge, I felt like. Like, and that, to me, sickening. But, like, not in a good way. And, like, here, yes, like, it looks like there's cliques. But I can talk to a brick wall. Like, I go up to anyone here, like, I feel like, in the gay community, LGBTQ community in general, like, no matter what I look like, no matter what I sound like, my color, like, anything, they will talk right back and will be open arms to put me in the Snapchat group chat if we got there. And, like, it's been, like, I feel loved here. Like, in a general sense, like, yes, the dating pool is small because there's not that many here, but, like, the small few that we have here, I feel like, actually make it a positive and safe space. And I also think that because the Lafayette gay community isn't super big, we don't have, like, okay, we don't have multiple gay bars. We have, like, one main one. And the one main one kind of pulls us all together. Like, we are more united, I feel like, here. We are more united as a community versus, like, segregating. Like, I've seen, like, in other cities that I've traveled to, like, oh, this race is the goes to that gay bar. This type of gay goes to this gay bar. This, like, that doesn't, we can't do that here. So, like, I think it makes, like, our gay community so much, like, gay, LGBTQ community, whatever you want to say, so much healthier. Because we are forced to exist together.
Talking about being forced to exist together, and that there's a lot of positives to it, what do you think is the biggest inter-community struggle that we face?
I think internalized homophobia is extremely large here. Now, I can't contest to, like, what it's like elsewhere, because, like, I don't know, and I won't say that. But here, I think a lot of people struggle with it, but because we're products of our environment here, and our environment is not always the most, like, a lot of times I've heard, like, oh, I want to be your friend. But, like, I think gay is a sin. Okay, so at this point, I'm just a figure piece that you want to add to your life just to say that I have a GBM. Okay, that's strange. So I think that builds internalized homophobia. People not wanting to come out to their parents. They're thinking, oh, like, they grew up with the Wrangler bootcut jeans, with cowboy boots that were alligator, that is what kind of gay they have to be. I think there's a lot of struggle with individualism here. Sometimes, which, I don't know, because whenever you go up to someone, because we have Mardi Gras balls, and, like, this is why I think we struggle with individualism here. We have a gay Mardi Gras ball here, Apollo, and then we have one not too far, ROU. It's LGBTQ friendly, and I say gay, but, like, LGBTQ, they're, like, prevalent. Well, okay, you go to the one, and I see people, like, put their glow on when they put some glitter on. But you see them out, and they're all shy and timid, and, like, they change completely, and I feel like that they're struggling with themselves, but they're trying to fit a box that is Lafayette. And sometimes fitting a box that is Lafayette is not the healthiest option. So I think that's I think, like, just individualism is our biggest struggle here.
What can you share about your experiences with queer spaces in Lafayette?
Did you say experiences or spaces?
Experiences with queer spaces.
Okay, experiences with queer spaces. I think there's, like, a general level of what we are going to experience in a queer space. I think that there's, like, a general knowledge of, like, what might occur. Like, I think we can all concur and say that, like, okay, if I walk into a gay bar, I'm going to see gay men. Period. Like, in general. Like,
I think that's what all the queer spaces are here. Like, we're going to see people dressed a little bit differently because, like, differently, you know what I mean, dressing how they want to dress in queer spaces. But I think that specific to Lafayette's queer spaces, I think, like, the specific Lafayette queer spaces here, they have a homier feeling. Like, okay, it's like Bolt nightclub. Okay, well, the owners of Bolt are behind the bar. It's not someone else running it. Like, they're present. The bartenders are like your friends that you probably had previously in these queer spaces. And I think, like, if you walk in, like, here in a queer space, I can walk in alone and know people. So I think Lafayette's queer spaces are definitely way, like, one of the safer experiences that I've had, because it's like a Southern Barrel feeling. Like, we're making a homier setting. They're not as large. They're not as largely vast in population. And they're kind of unheard of. Like, a lot of times, whenever, like, people hear I'm a drag queen, they're like, where do you perform? You can perform, like, more downtown. That's, like, the only place. I'm like, no, we have a gay bar downtown. All the time. Wait, there's a gay bar here? That's wild. Like, I think we have a really good hidden, like, kind of our little oasis. And maybe they don't want it to be, like, a hidden oasis. But, like, I think that's really safe for where we are in the world. Like, we're in South Louisiana. That's kind of scary. That's kind of scary sometimes for our actual physical safety. So I kind of like, I think our queer spaces are very hidden oasis sanctuaries for us.
You mentioned that you do drag performances. Can I ask you about that?
Yeah.
So, have you ever, or can you just discuss your experiences performing in, you mentioned Bolt.
Yes.
So can you discuss your experience performing there?
Oh, my favorite. It's actually my favorite place to perform. First of all, like, I already knew the queens, like, outside of drag. They are super cool people, and they're super down to earth. I think it's the most down to earth family bar. Like their cast, like, you know, I don't make drunk movies, but, like, Roxy C. Black and Kenley Andrews have been there since the beginning of Ladies of Bolt. Like, they are there. They have been there. So I think, like, they build a very good groundwork for, like, drag to exist here. Like, you can exist in drag here and be okay. And, like, have it. And every time I perform, like, tips are good at Bolt. Like, people appreciate the art at Bolt. Like, the actual owners, like, they care about the drag hitting their stage, I feel like. Like, they're not just, like, they want the art to actually be presented properly, and that's what I really like about Bolt. And I have, you know, to say an experience, I have, at a certain bar, I have been sexually assaulted. A man shoved his hands down my tights because he thought, like, it was a proper thing because of who drag queens are. What does that mean? I don't know, but keep that energy to yourself. But, like, Bolt, like, I know that if anything near that happened at Bolt, the staff, all of them would, like, make a motion, be active, and care. But I also know that the patrons at the bar, whether I know them or not, would not accept it. And they would take action, too. So Bolt, one of, like, my favorite places for it.
A lot of folks kind of express the sentiment that drag kind of bring both the LGBTQ community together, but also, like, just communities outside of that together.
Yes. Okay. I have a very, very strong opinion about this, and it's probably just because of my specific experiences. Being a young drag queen, I started drag young. So, okay, gay, like, I feel like LGBTQ people, y'all, like, we look at drag queens as an equal human being who's displaying their art. We know that it is art. Queer art. Like, protect the queer art. Like, that's one of the things that we're worried about right now. And, like, I think that people who exist out of this and they don't really see drag that often and they go to a brunch once a year, they're more idolizing the drag. Like, it's more of like a, this is a celebrity moment. This person is on a different level than me, and they don't view it as art. They view it as, like, how I'm not a generalized statement, but not everybody thinks this, a man in a wig. That's how a lot of people just think of drag in the back of their head on their back burner. And I think, like, yes, drag pulls together communities, but not for the same reasons. It's very different reasons. Very different reasons. Repeat the question to see if I want to add anything.
Yes. Many folks have expressed the sentiment that drag brings together the LGBTQ+ and local community together. Do you think this is true? If so, how do you think drag fosters such a tight-knit community?
I wouldn't say tight-knit. Okay. I would. I have performed at brunches in XYC. There are a lot of people who are homophobic and against queer things, like our lifestyles and everything, and they will attend a brunch. They will attend a drag brunch, they will hand you that $5 bill, and then they'll leave there and post something on Facebook with the S word. Like, I have seen it firsthand. That is not just me making an assumption about people. I have seen it. And so I think that, yes, drag can bring together communities positively. I think that that is a very good existence. It brings together, like, it does. Absolutely does. But I don't think that every single situation that drag is bringing together communities is always positive. Because, like, I have heard in a drag show a grown man say, look how that FAG is dressed, and pointed at someone else that was at the show. You are at a drag show, honey. Let's be real. So, like that, it's not always positive. It's not always going. Drag, yes, we want it to be a safe space for everybody. But with the world we live in, not every space is always going to be safe.
Okay, this is a question specifically about not only your personal experience coming out, but like the idea of coming out, you know. Do you feel that LGBTQ+ individuals are treated differently now versus whenever you came out?
Can we broaden the question a little bit to, like, say in general, like, all LGBTQ from past to now? Why am I trying to answer the question that I'm being interviewed?
Hold on.
Because I don't think I'm old enough to have an accurate representation of a big change or a big existence. Like, because I'm in my early 20s in 2024. I don't think that my age can represent too much, like, in that experience. Because I've only been out 8 years. Like, I came out, like, I think the year before that it was legalized at the Supreme Court. So, like, it's not really, I don't think. But I could say overall that coming out now, okay, actually, I'm very opinionated on this question. There's a different layers that I see in this question. So I see on Facebook, see on social media, the toxicity of people saying that being gay, being transgender is a trend now. People are just jumping on this trend. People are just doing all this. And I think that's absolute bullshit. Sorry for the language, but I genuinely think it is, because let's look at it. Okay. Maybe now there's just a few laws that might protect us from hate crimes. Maybe there are just a few more people that were listening about our problems before, not saying anything, but now they're listening and acting. Maybe there's just, like, a few more spaces where police officers won't rip us out of the space and arrest us and maybe protect us from the oppressor. Maybe it's just safe for the people that were hidden to now not be hidden. There's no trend in this anymore. It's not a trend. We are not trying. If it was so trendy and so beneficial and, like, the world wanted it to be all this trend, do you think that the government would be trying to strip us of some of the rights? No. They want to protect it. They want more voters. So, like, whenever you are thinking about how, like, the coming out experience has changed, the coming out experience has changed so much that we go from killing someone to, like, oh my gosh, I can go to a gay bar and not be terrified. Like, that's the rapid change in coming out. Like, and I think that a lot of people are coming out, like, and, like, okay, specifically, I'm not a transgender person, but I feel very strongly for them and I support them, like, so hard. A lot of people say, like, I'm not letting my daughter transition. I'm not letting my son transition. Valid. if that's your opinion, your opinion is valid. And I'm not going to take your opinion because I want you to respect mine. But, okay.
We're good.
Like, you're telling me that all of a sudden maybe a few doctors who can change some laws said, hey, I want to provide people with proper health care, so now it's going to become trendy. And, but, oh, now that we're getting proper health care, it's becoming a problem? When the people stopped dying was whenever they stopped caring. That's how I feel about that. That's my question. Okay, next question.
Wow.
Please, I'll get arrested.
Do you notice a difference in the attitudes of others towards LGBTQ plus women versus LGBTQ plus men?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I have really fifth grade. Okay. Just like from my experiences, okay, women, you know, generalize it. Women tend to be less homophobic.
Period.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Women tend to be less homophobic, I feel like, because society, like, cool. Men, okay, men will rip you apart, use all the slurs, use whatever vicious words that they want to use to describe you. But the second that a woman is same sex, it's hot. Excuse me? Is this not a double standard here? Just because you are not intrigued by a man does not all of a sudden should generate your hate for my sexual activity. These people are generating hate for us specifically because what happens in our bedroom. What that got to do with you? What does that... I do not care what you're doing in yours. Why? Your hate for a gay person. Essentially, being gay means that I am attracted to a man and have sexual relations with a man. You are not mad that I'm attracted to a man. You're mad that I'm having sex with a man. So I don't care about that. You're not in the room. Like, that's crazy to me. But, oh, a woman. Oh, my God. Y'all want to vote? Come with me? And, like, they watch it on, like, sites that show the explicity of it. And all these things. So I think that the world definitely treats, like, women who are attracted to women better than us. And you know what? Kudos to them. Go there. I don't think that they are as ostracized as gay men. And you know what? That's just from my experience. I'm only saying this from my experience. And yes, lesbians, people who are attracted to other women, the same sex women, like, yes, I'm not discrediting any of the negative experience that they could have had because they are still someone in the LGBTQ community. They are still experiencing some atrocities. Like, I get it. And I think that they are experiencing something, but I think that what they experience is a little bit different than what a cisgender
I have some questions about queer representation in media. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you feel that LGBTQ plus history, like a collective history, how do you think that affects the current climate for our community?
Like, in our climate or like outward, like us, like our climate within us or our climate in general, including externally?
You can answer it both, or whichever way you think is better.
Okay. I'll answer with external factors. Okay, so I think our climate is super crazy because a lot of people who are not in our community are over-sexualizing our community. Yes. So, like, me as a gay man, a cis gay man, some people automatically throw on the label pedophile. Huh? What does that mean? When did we add that being gay meant I was attracted to kids and wanted to do awful things to children? Missing that one. But, like, I think that it's just so over-sexualized that it's creating a climate within us that we are sexualizing ourselves too much. I think we are taking it and projecting it in some ways, and not all of us, and it's not always going to be an all thing. I'm saying generalized statements because I think it exists. I think so, and I think this is one of the very, very difficult conversations and uncomfortable experiences that we need to talk about and we need to normalize talking about, but we're just not there yet. I think we, like, all the climate within us is that we are pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing to try and get everything that we deserve and to get equal rights, equal protections, like good health care, all this stuff, and that we're forgetting about ourselves a little bit. Like, we're forgetting about myself, me. Like, okay, these people are over-sexualizing me, then why not be what they already think of me? I think a lot of people do that. Grindr. I think that is so... Okay, Grindr. Like, I'm not innocent in this. Like, I'm not. I've met people off of Grindr. I'm not innocent. But, like... If I went in my app store right now, like, this is factual. Whoever's watching this, do it. You type in Grindr, you get, the second you get to the end, right under it, it says Grindr straight. Yeah. People are, like, trying to figure out what is going on in our climate, and that it's creating our climate to be crazy. And then, like, I think external factors, okay, these DL people, like, okay, I think sexual health is not talked about enough as well in our community, but, like, I think our community is way ahead of other communities. Like, okay, like, for the longest time, we were known as the gay-related immune deficiency, which is now HIV/AIDS. And we were known that it only hit us. It was what God was doing to us. That's what people thought for the longest time. And now we, like, okay, let's say you have it. Like, your status is positive. You can take medications that alleviate it from being a death sentence. Oh my gosh, we have preventatives. Oh my gosh, someone is funding a vaccine. Oh my gosh, all these things. But, like, our climate is still saying that, still making us feel weird, and we still feel dirty, so to speak, like, whenever people are positive, because the external factors, because everybody's like, ew, just gay people have that. Just, like, that still exists, because that's a very systematic thing that we have to work really hard to change. And our climate is just so crazy. There's so many different, like, levels to us and our community, because there are so many different, like, experiences. I don't think anyone could adequately say what our climate is, because, okay, I'm a gay man, I date men. Okay, well, we have lesbians, we have bisexuals, we have intersexuals, we have asexuals, we have transgenders. There are so many of us, so many different things to explore, that we can't have a climate. I don't think, like, a climate is... I just turned that question around and made it crazy. I'm honestly just having a thought bubble now. But, like, it's honestly so... It's really, really sad. I, like, because I'm a victim of it, like, how much I sexualized myself, and I thought that's all I was good for, because of, like, the predatory things that I had to do, because our climate said, like, don't come out whenever you're young. So I was, like, wise words of Doja Cat, cyber sex. All I was a nude in a mirror to a man that I didn't really see his face. Like, that's how I, like, that's how I view our climate sometimes. Like, there's stages of our climate. Like, now I'm having my big awakening, and I'm super healthy, sexually healthy. I'm trying to do the good things for people, trying to, like, be a voice for people that don't have voices, because they, like, are so scared to. But, like, our climate is, like, you have to be a loud one like me. I feel like it's kind of like you have to be one pushing and pushing and pushing and heavily opinionated and screaming on the top of the rooftops, or you're nothing. I've experienced that a lot. I've seen people, like, degrade. Like, I've seen on social media, like, things like that, someone degrading someone else's sexuality because they didn't want to, like, put their opinion on the internet. Excuse me? Why? Like, I thought we were supposed to be uniting here. So I think our climate is just so crazy. Like, I think it's crazy. We all want the right thing, but we're all going about the right thing in a different way. Like, we have the same destination, but we've never talked about the path that we want to take to make our climate actually positive. I have worked before that.
Do you think representation in media, so TV shows, movies, etc., is important for a young LGBT plus person?
No. Oh, okay. That sounded crazy. Yes and no. I think it's amazing that we are seeing LGBTQ people doing great things. I think it's amazing that some people in Congress, like,
are saying, like, it's okay. I think it's great that a transgender person was on the ad for Bud Light. Why is it a big deal who's an ad for Bud Light? I don't know. You know, like, I'm dragging, so. I think it's amazing because I did, like, a lot of people did not see that. A lot of people did not, like, I think it's opening up so much of their expression because, like, whenever you see, like, oh my gosh, literally something that just happened. Emmy, RuPaul just got one. Another one. For being TV show host, he's clearing the Emmys for it. I think it's amazing to see, like, because all the cast walks on stage from all the season that won it. Okay, Michelle Visage walks on stage, RuPaul walks on stage, and you see such a diverse group of people because people are in the representation and in the media. You can look at one of them and pinpoint, wait, I kind of like that. And it makes you start poking and prodding and expressing yourself. It makes you start poking and prodding and exploring. Because you saw it. So it makes you, and not exploring, like, sexually, but just exploring, like, who you are a little bit. I think it's, like, super beneficial for people to, like, for all the representation part, all to be out there, because it's making people feel like, I can do that. It's making us have a little pedestal that we never had before, but, like, at the same time, I think it's bad because you see the exact same thing happening, and then you click on comments, and, like, obviously people have opinions, obviously they're not always positive. So it's a double-edged sword. It depends on how you want to look at it and how you view it. Like, are you viewing this as powerful? Are you viewing this as like, oh, it's the one in a million chance that maybe I'll get on there but people are going to hate me for it? Depends on how you look at it. But I think it's both. Good. The representation. Okay. That's great. Period. Okay, I need to get that out.
How do you feel about recent political actions taken against LGBT people in Louisiana? So, you know, book bans, legislation, sports bans.
Give me a second, Doctor. Okay, we're going to talk about literature because that's the one I'm most educated on. I don't really follow sports that much, so I don't really have too much knowledge on that. LGBTQ literature, I think it's literally insane that we are having book bans. Why are, like, okay, this is why I think this. I think, okay, definitely a book that is presenting gay sex and all these things, someone below a certain age should not be able to, like, okay, no person who's just learning how to read should be able to go pick up a book and figure out what poppers are. I think that's valid. I think that is 1,000% valid on their standpoint. But I think, like, okay, you, as I'm, like, Shakespeare, if you look into, like, all these old literature acts that we are forced to study and all these things, there's, like, drag queens in it. Like, there's drag in it and all these things, but, like, nobody wants to look at that. We want to look at why he said thou. Like, what? Okay, no, like, so I think that's putting bans on certain books. Like, you are literally harming the education of, like, queer youth. Like, you, like, we need to protect queer rights, queer art, queer, because I consider literature art. For me, I do. I think literature is absolutely beautiful. I think, like, it would be amazing, like, okay, it's becoming more prevalent. Like, I see LGBTQ couples in books now. But I think if, like, we weren't trying to suppress them and take them off the shelves and all these things, maybe, like, a few more exploring people who are bi curious, gay curious, wouldn't go message an old man online and figure something out. Get what I'm saying? I feel like that would be a very, like, they would learn about themselves somewhat, like, it would answer some of their questions to see, like, a couple do it, to do all these things that we are not seeing. Because, like, gay couples, like, they, let me not even get this back. Like, seeing those things would have been so beneficial for me. Like, I know I, like, me growing up, whenever I was first answering my questions, like, in fourth, fifth grade, before I really, like, got my phone and figured it out online, like, if I would have had, like, an AR book in my elementary school that just had, like, a little, like, romance novel that was a gay couple, not, like, crazy, not them ripping off their clothes, like, just, like, a little innocent one, how would it have changed and educated me? It would have just made me, it would make a world of difference for kids to see who they think they are represented for them from a young age. Because, like,
you look at gay media, like, you look at gay travel, like, all these things, amazing. I love that we have gay safe spaces to travel within. I love that we have gay cruises, all these things. But whenever you're trying to adventure, you're like, oh my god, I'm like LGBTQ places. A bunch of men pop up wearing, like, jock straps. Not jock straps, not that extreme, but, like, speedos, they have harnesses, all this stuff. So it immediately thinks that, oh, this is what I need to be. I think queer literature allows a lot of people to express what they think their queer experience is, what they look at queer experiences, and they're putting it in paper, putting it in movies, and things like that, that a wide range of what the queer experience is, and you will be able to see a lot more of what the queer community is. Oh my god, I could talk about that for years. Okay, next.
So I have a follow-up about that. This question, this phrase, how do you think we got here? Which is not to suggest that this hasn't been a problem for, you know, our community for a long time, but I think especially in terms of book bans, you know, that has become a very controversial topic and has become kind of in this 24/7 news cycle.
Uh-huh.
How do you think we got here?
How do we think we got here? Am I allowed to get political?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think it's kind of wild that people that were born before the 1960s are allowed to hold public office. And, like, major public offices. Oh, right. Okay, I have a perfect tie-in for this. Okay, so you're telling me a 65-year-old woman, and, like, okay, this is just going to work for our president. I'm not saying anything about his, like, what word do I mean? Like, any of what his administration is doing, it has nothing to do with that. This is just, like, an example because of, like, a demographic he fits. So, a 70-year-old woman cannot go stock shelves at Walmart, cannot go work at XYZ, because she is a 70-year-old woman who is deemed unfit for proper employment. So you think an 85-year-old man, or a 70-year-old man, too, like, he's fit, unproper for employment. So, let me get even older, and he is properly fit to run millions of people and make decisions for millions of people and, like, all these crazy things. I think that we have gotten here because, for a second, I think whenever there was, like, more traditional ideas, like, a little bit more traditional ideas, like, yes, church was in state, then certain people pulled in, and then church was removing from state, and, like, it allowed us to do all these things, and now church is getting back in state. Where, like, it's going against my religious beliefs, so it's doing this. So I can't support that. But at the same time, I think it's like, okay, because they don't want it. A lot of these people are, like, voting in the sense of, like, a winner, like, how they grew up. Like, I was raised, like, and, like, that's crazy, because, like, you want to say you were raised, like, you were raised whenever, like, a person of color could not be at the same water fountain as you. And you want to say that, like, the adequate decision, like, you're making a decision based on how you were raised? That's what we're doing. So, like, if you want to make a decision about how we're raised, then you better revert it all the way back. Don't be progressive about certain things. Say it with your chest. Do what you want to do with your chest. And they're doing something with their chest, and it's not good. That's what I'm literally seeing. Like, a lot of these people are like, and there's a lot of show voting now. Social media has made show voting happen, where it's like, oh my god, I'm going to do this for you. But social media is allowing them to present something and they have hidden motives. Like, okay, yeah, like, let's say we vote a great woman in office, first woman president, like, cool. A bunch of men are like, oh, she's too emotional because she's a woman, because that's what they think. There's, like, no... There's progression of legislation, but there's not progression of people and demographic of people, if that makes sense. Like, they're trying to make progressive legislation. There's some somewhere. Not right now, obviously. They're trying to literally rip us apart. But, like, there was progressive legislation because people were changing, and now we're stagnant again. Like, there's no more change in people, so there's not going to be change in legislation. I think that goes hand in hand.
What do you think we could do to combat this?
Vote. Like, our literal most powerful thing as a citizen of the United States, like, we can vote. Like, voting. But voting only goes so far. Whenever, okay, I feel like there's way too many media outlets because it's, I feel like because there's so many different media outlets that there's so many different opinions being pushed that it's pushing all of our votes in different ways, so it's becoming like the people who need to band together, like the people who actually have the same ideologies, aren't really voting together anymore. And I think like with the media, like so many people are, like their opinions are becoming so vast. Like, perfect example. Like, okay, so let's say some, I don't even know if there's one right now off the top of my head, like there's someone in the House or in Congress that are extremely pro-life, but they are extremely pro-queer. Okay, well, that's, I'm not saying that it's like hand-in-hand, pro-choice people are queer, like that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that like, okay, a lot of like queer women will not vote that way because they want their actual healthcare rights. They want their experiences to be protected. They want their, which is valid. I think like, period, like the feminist queer women who deserve to be protected, they're, it's like, are, it's hard for them to vote because they're voting against themselves either way. Like, they vote for that person? Okay, well then, kind of stripping my right a little bit, my rights and my choice, but then it's going to help me be queer. Oh, but like, okay, let's say they're super, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, it's weird. I think there's a lot of vast opinions because they're trying to accommodate one group and not really, like, they're saying, oh, I'm super pro-queer because they want the queer vote, which is getting enormous, babe. We're getting big. We're starting to scream on the top of rooftops, but not realizing that, like, okay, with their pro-life at the, like, at the same thing, you're dividing us. You are adding a division to you, and you are literally ripping yourself apart because, like, you're picking and choosing, trying to showboat and trying to, like, pick and choose and have the biggest wide range of votes. Well, I promise you, if you're trying to say you're pro-life and queer, you get it. Like, it's not good. Like, it's just not. I don't know. It's because there's a lot of queer women out there who care about their rights. Okay, next.
So, a part of the research that we did discovered that, you know, in the late 70s, mid 80s, there was like 6 to 7 gay bars all at once. And I say gay bars deliberately, you know, because it was serving specifically that part of the community. And now today, we only have one, which is Bolt. Mm-hmm. How does it make you feel?
I think it's really different. So, I think like marketing is different. I think that, and social media plays a major role in how gay bars are surviving now. Okay. Because back then, like, you weren't really advertising on your sign that you were a gay bar. It was not openly advertised. It was not all over Facebook. It was not all over Instagram that you were a gay bar that was having drag shows. Okay. It was kind of just like an underground thing that you just heard about and you were just going. So I think, like, all, like they were surviving, like, all these multiple bars were surviving because like a lot of people were going not knowing what the bar was. Like they were, like it was just considered a hangout, but like the insiders, the gays that were going that knew it was the gay bars, like they kept it quiet. They were more quiet back then. They were more like reserved. Like there was not many openly queer people wearing, like queer men or like non-binary people that were wearing crop tops, but are like passing as men, do you get what I'm saying? Like, not trying to categorize anybody. But, like, I think that like, it's changed a lot where, okay, people feel uncomfortable with how we dress. Like, some people feel uncomfortable with seeing a man in a crop top and some short shorts and in heels. Like, that's just how, what they think. And I think that now whenever, like, that's associated to gay bar. So a lot of the, like, heterosexual community and a lot of the other communities that, like, view it that way, now that that's what's happening and like it's becoming more prevalent in gay bars. Now like some are having to shut down because they're losing a lot of business because of the like stigma on a gay bar. And now that you can like, see that it's a gay bar and it's more relevant and like now that they can, now that a bar can go on social media and say that they are a gay bar as their superpower. Now that's what's, I think, becoming the problem a little bit. So that's what I feel about that.
So we've been talking a lot about representation, and we've dealt with some heavy topics. I would like to kind of switch the tone for a second and talk about pride. To you, what's the best part of being LGBTQ plus?
I think we all think of sexuality super different. Like, okay, yes, I'm LGBTQ plus, yes, I'm a drag queen, but that's not all I am. That's how I see it. I think that my representation, I think a gay man, gay cis man, is getting the most representation. Like, I think we are the most, like, whenever you think of, like, LGBTQ community, you think about, like, two men holding hands. Like, that's what a lot of people think about. That's what immediately where their body goes to, even though the L is before the G. But, like, I think to answer the, like, what's the best part, I think the time that I'm existing in it. Like, it doesn't go, I think time period of when you're existing in it goes hand in hand with how you exist as LGBTQ. Because, like, we've existed in so many different spheres, we've existed in so many different ways that, like, okay, now that I'm in 2024, yes, there's legislature that's against me. Yes, there's people that are still against me. That's not going to go away. We live in a society that there's always going to be a hater. But I think just the time period. Like, I think that's not, like, the best thing, because now I can go to a gay bar and be protected. People didn't have that. Like, are we to refer Stonewall? Like, that was crazy. If you look up Stonewall riots and how crazy that was, I'm not having to fight as hard. I think that's what I like about my LGBTQ experience the most. Like, I'm not fighting. Like, I'm fighting, but it's a different type of fighting. I'm not fighting for my life at this point. Like, if that makes any sense. Like, I'm not going to jail for having sex with a man at this point. I'm not. I think it's a time period. I know that it doesn't, like, because LGBTQ, I guess the sense of community as well. Like, because, yes, because I am the majority, like, I'm a white man. And, like, what people are going to say is, like, the most privileged in this country. And, like, I think because I do exist in a minority group, they're like, I think that's my favorite part. Like, I have a minority group that I can exist within in a completely different atmosphere and have completely different experiences than I typically would. There we go. That's a good answer. That's how best an answer I like.
Do you attend any pride festivities?
Oh, gosh, do I? Yeah, I actually accidentally ended up, 2 years ago, ended up in the New York City Pride Parade, walking in it. I have video proof on my Instagram. That was wild. I've done Pride Houston. I've been to New Orleans Pride. Memorial Weekend Pensacola is kind of like a rave, but, like, it's like a sense of pride. I've done Pride Lafayette, obviously. Pride Baton Rouge is a thing. But I think Pride festivals exist for a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. Like, some people go to, like, support others, which is valid. We need people who are not in our community supporting us. That's, like, the only way we can keep pushing forward, I think. We need the loud voices that are not inside of our community. So, like, Pride is, like, such a big thing for me because, like, yes, we get the 1 month a year, even though, like, Pride festivals do happen throughout the year. Like, it does. Like, Atlanta Pride, I think, is in October, which is not Pride Month. But I love attending Pride. I think there's a sense of safety to it, even though, like, yes, I think a lot of people look at it as, like, oh my god, so, like, if they wanted to do something against the gay community, like, go crazy, like, it would be a Pride festival. But I think that, like, I would like to experience the really negative things about what people would treat me at a Pride festival, because the people that just have as much pride as me are standing right next to me. So yes, I do attend. Period.
Why is pride important in Louisiana?
I'm trying to think of how it's specific to Louisiana, why pride is so important. But I think like pride is like one of the most generalized things of our community. Like pride is one of like maybe a couple umbrellas that we can all sit under and all exist under and all agree that like we need to have pride in who we are. So I think in Louisiana specifically, a lot of I've experienced internalized homophobia. Don't think that like I haven't, it's a thing. But like, I think specifically in Louisiana, I think whatever events happen, it's like pride, like it gets everyone talking. I think everyone starts talking, whether it's positive, whether it's negative. I think it stirs up all the homophobes, stirs up all the people that hate the drag queens route, stirs up every single like corner of this state, unlike some other states. That like, because our state is small in population and small in like square miles. So like I think whatever like a big pride event, like Southern Decadence, enormous, like amazing prideful event, like the whole state's talking about what's happening in Southern Decadence and they have their opinion about it. And they're posting, like a lot of people are posting it on Facebook, a lot of people are posting their opinion. It's giving a lot of different outlets for us to build traction on and pull and try to get like our voices heard more. Great, that's my thing.
Okay, we talked about a lot, so appreciate you doing this. I just have a couple of closing questions before we wrap up.
Okay.
How much would you say you're involved in the LGBTQ plus community?
Extremely. I mean, I am a drag queen, so I perform at LGBTQ safe spaces, and like I perform in that. I kind of only frequent gay bars instead of the non-gay bars. I think that's just how I exist now. Majority of my friends are gays, are queer people. So I would say I'm extremely heavily, and I watch all the queer shows, I'm in all the queer group chats and stuff like that, so I would say I'm extremely into it.
In what ways do you find community and support in your identity?
Honestly, kind of like yes, my friends, all that stuff, like yes, they obviously support me because they are in the same situation as me in a certain extent. But like my family. That's probably a very odd answer for this. But my family is like one of the most supportive people of the way I am. Like they wanna see my drag. They want to like my godmother and my cousin came to Pride with me one time. Like, my mom has been in Splash, in Baton Rouge, and my god, like, yeah, like, I think it's my family, they want me to be okay, like, boyfriends that I have, bring them to Christmas, oh my god, they get gifts, they get a stocking, like, I think my family, like, where everywhere else where it's not normal, I consider be normal, I think that's the best forever. Like, where I'm always different everywhere else, I'm not any different to them, and I think that's, like, the best support that you can have for LGBT. We just want, like, we don't want to feel like our difference is our weakness. And we just want to exist you know what? Let me not generalize everybody, but I just want to exist in a normal setting and live a normal life. Just be gay. I'll do that.
Where do you see yourself as part of the LGBTQ plus community in the future?
I think doing what I'm doing, like, I don't know how much. I mean, like, obviously, I could, like, spearhead events and do things, pride events, like, all those things, like, I see myself doing that, if we're being honest. But I also, like, still doing drag, probably, like, so far retired the way you're saying about to drag. But, like, I see myself, like, spreading kindness, like, just making sure that people know that who they are is okay. That's a big thing. I don't think, like, we tell each other enough. Like, I think, like, yeah, like, okay, we exist with, like, our LGBTQ friends and all this stuff, but we never sit down and have a conversation and say, hey, are you okay with who you are? And then talk about it and say, you are okay. So I see myself doing that for a lot of people, trying to, like, push for queer youth to, to have something that not everybody else has ever had as a decent experience.
You can interpret this next question nationwide, globally, super specific to our community, statewide, however you think would be best.
Okay.
What is your hope for the future of our community?
Okay. I hope for the future of our community that our Pride festivals, like the general public who are not attending them and are not in our community, stop viewing them as protests. That people don't feel like we're protesting anymore. That people don't feel like we're the bad guys. That people feel like we are just another person. Like celebrating the Boudin Festival. We just celebrate being queer. That's what I hope that. Because a lot of people do view Pride as like a way to protesting and like going against the big man or like the government, whatever. No, just to not be seen as an enemy for having pride. That's what I hope for.
Is there anything that we haven't covered that you would like to include?
I want people to stop putting so much pressure on themselves in the gay community to be loved by others. Because, I'm going to say this from personal experience. I have sought out for other people to validate me, other men to validate me. And I think that we need to really sit down. And I want the communities, like us, to talk to other communities and talk about how we will, like those bumper stickers that say coexist. We need to talk about what that actually looks like. Because we are just all saying, let's coexist. How's it happening? So I just want everybody to love themselves first and just find ways to coexist in a healthy way that we can project and make bigger. Period.
Thank you so much for sitting and interviewing with us today. We really appreciate it.
Amen.